This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys. We are in the middle of Krusty's Corner here with Brian Broaddus. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. He had just finished up offensive film room takeaways when we left, and here's Brian with some defense.
Yeah, thank you. Lucius, I'll keep an eye on you. If you hear Mike, I'll just wave me off, and I'll be glad to jump off the air. But, all right, one final play if I could on the offensive side, the fourth down pass. And this is the final play of the offense for the Cowboys. There really wasn't anything there when you look at the routes. Smith gives up a pressure. It's one of the times that Tyler Smith actually missed on a block. Collins got him on this particular one. Malik Collins got him. And it forces Prescott to move to his right. Dak really didn't want to go that way. He wanted to see if he could stand there in the middle of the pocket and make a throw. But Collins forces him to his right. Lamb just not able to separate, and he's double-teamed. Mustafa and Yidam have him, and then Brooks and Brown get tangled up, and there's just no chance on the play. There really wasn't anything open for Dak to throw to. It's just really disappointing because you figure, like, heck, you know, there's – you've kind of found some opportunities to throw the ball and be good at it, and you know, in that fourth quarter, and just to come down to a play like that and really not get anything out of it, it was just disappointing for the Cowboys. So it ends for the offense there. All right, Cowboys defense. I felt like that to me, and are we going to get into the Mike Leslie stuff? I guess we got him on today at 6,
he'll be on
right?
at 6 o'clock. We've got the audio. We can fire it up.
Yeah, so, and I can't wait to replay the interaction that Hagee had with Stephen Jones earlier. Awesome. It was freaking hilarious.
The thing about it is, though, I can understand why Diggs had some things to say.
Agreed.
Because I felt like that he played more physical game than we've seen from him in the past.
Yeah.
I've seen him play far, far less physical games.
Agreed.
And Leslie called him out. And, yeah, the effort on the one play I don't think was particularly great getting over there and making the tackle. But overall, though, I felt like that when he had to take on blocks and Kittle and Lyman and people out there, receivers and all, you know, he had four tackles in this game that were run defense plays. You know, so you got to give him some credit.
Yeah, that was one of the better physical games Trayvon Diggs has played.
He hasn't had many, and that was one of them that I was.
There's a suspension.
And he doesn't talk very much, and now I see why. You know, it was embarrassing for him to say, you can't do what I do, so you can't talk about me.
Yeah.
Right. He's a reporter. You're a player.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
If I could do that, I would go make $20 million a year, Trayvon. I report
we
on
did
things.
Just get a Sam Williams news update as you're talking about the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's been suspended 3 games for violating the personal conduct policy, Eric.
That's right, Wolchuk. Went into effect prior to week 8. He will be eligible for reinstatement on November 11th following the Cowboys' Week 10 game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So all we know is that it's personal conduct policy, 3 games.
So is he eligible to play?
No.
Injured?
Well, I mean, he's injured, so I don't understand
so
how that works either.
A suspension while injured? That'll work.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
3 games seems like something pretty serious.
Kinda nice they let you do that.
Yeah. Hopefully it was roids.
Pretty nice.
He's getting back healthy.
It's interesting, though, because that'd be like the one guy you would look at on the team and be like, I don't think you need it. Like, physically.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have steroids for the brain? Is there common sense steroids? Because if we could get those for Sam Williams, I would be willing to, you know, throw down on it a little bit. I'll put a 10-ski on it right now.
You guys remember the Debo Samuel, the play, the fourth down play where the ball was thrown behind him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened there?
Cowboys catch a huge break here. I mean, they really, really do. They pretty throws the ball, as mentioned, behind Samuel. It's going to be a first if he puts it in front of him. I mean, they go on an all-out blitz. Zimmer sells out with the blitz, and nobody gets home. I mean, nobody gets home. And Purdy might...
We're going to dial it up, boys.
Yeah, Purdy might have felt the need to speed up the throw, seeing the alignment, that the way the Cowboys were up on the line of scrimmage there might have sped him up a little bit in it. And because Hooker was at depth, and really didn't drive on the route all that well. I mean, that was the guy in the coverage that he had.
I think he's Pro Football Focus's worst safety.
Is he?
And then right there shortly before him on the list is Donovan Wilson, 65, 68, something like that, out of 68.
Yeah, it's been a problem for these guys.
You say what you want about Dak. I have him over Brock Purdy. That was bad. If it's not for his running in Guerrero, Cowboys win that game.
I'll tell you, that was it was a tough one, man. Like I say, that throw that he makes, if it's in front, it's a big play. It's a really.
And Debo wasn't great either yesterday. How many drops do you have? Two, three?
Yeah, two drops, I believe, in that game.
Should have had a touchdown, big one.
Oh my god!
But that holding call. It was a good holding call though.
Good holding call. Kittle's touchdown off the pick. I want to talk about that. This is amazing to me that two officials throw their flags on the play. I mean, you could literally see them both at the same time throwing their flags and to make the call.
You had a great rant about that last night.
Oh, thank you.
Several of them, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate
you were very unhappy. Yeah.
I was not happy about that. You know me and my love-hate with officials. There's no intent from Conley to run that route at all. There's no intent at all for him to he is clearly going inside to block on Donovan Wilson and pick. The thing about it is the 49ers brought Kittle across the formation to set that up to get him out in the flat. So there's a use of motion right there.
Yeah.
You talk about moving, and then now you got the setup where you run the pick and then you run the flat route there. But there was no intent at all from the receiver at all to you have to be able to square up or show intent like you're running the route. You cannot block the guy. You know, if this was a running play, he would have got a helmet sticker. It was that good of a block on Wilson. But you got to be able to turn, square your shoulders, and act like you're going to receive the football. He wasn't pushed at all, too. When you watch the tape, he was just you see the corner is just riding him down. Lewis is just riding him down inside. It's not a push or anything like that. He's just playing pass defense on the goal line. So, you know, the guy's not even looking for the ball. He's not even squaring up. I just kind of feel like this was a clear pick, mm-hmm. and the officials, both of them saw it, both of them threw their flags, and for some stupid reason, they picked up that.
And McCauley's like trying to agree with him on the broadcast. Yeah, are you just here to agree with these guys?
No, it's terrible. Terry McCauley is one of the worst. He really is one of the worst. Okay, it is perfect for that because he will cover up for mistakes and stuff like that.
And a good point by 682, I guess, talking about the Purdy quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
That one, it didn't feel like he got in on that either.
Elbow was down. I was talking with Zago. Elbow down, ball outside the goal line. And they call that a touchdown.
That seemed clear as day.
I thought it was very obvious. Now, I'd assume they go for it and probably get it on the next play.
Sure.
But you never know. Right. Weird things happen in the NFL.
Yeah, maybe they try to hand it off to one of their offensive linemen like the Bears did, and they fumble it.
Actually. How about George Kittle, the 27-yard gain he had on a play? This is really the 49ers again. Really nice clear out by Conley. He takes Diggs and Hooker out of the play. Wilson's trying to carry Kittle from depth, and that allows the separation. That's, to me, was when you look at one of the bigger mistakes that Mike Zimmer made in that game was, and we talked about it earlier, was the fact that he felt like that Donovan Wilson could take George Kittle in that game. That just was not going to be the case. You need to treat Kittle like he's a wide receiver. You need to put bigger corners if you've got him, and the Cowboys do. The Cowboys, later in the game, where McQuamu got an opportunity, Lewis mm-hmm. got an opportunity, and they were better playing against him when they went with guys that are comfortable covering.
Yeah, that's just not knowing your personnel at all. Well, and in a game where they don't have Ayuk, they don't have McCaffrey, it's not like they have this hierarchy of guys and you're trying to like figure out how to stop them, and I guess we're going to have to go light on Kittle, we'll take our chance there. But you knew, based on the guys they had available, this is their second best weapon. Outside of Debo,
the whole week you needed to prep like this guy was going to be the main factor for them in this game, and he really really was in that particular route I'm trying to talk about too, because of the separation, with Wilson trying to carry. Kendricks is trying to help on the play as well. He sees the crosser. I think that Kendricks is playing a little bit limp, a little bit gimpy right now.
For sure.
He steps up because of the play action, and he's just not moving quick enough to turn and recover and to be able to make the play right there. He's a guy playing hurt right now with the calf injury.
Yeah, his GPS numbers must have been insane because that poor guy was having to run all over the field. Yeah. They're motioning, he's running. I mean, he's trying his best to just keep up, but physically that is a tough task.
But the Diggs tip pass, that was the third and one.
Chauncey?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Chauncey?
Diggs. Chauncey had a chance for an interception.
He
here
did. And I thought he was a bright spot defensively.
He was a bright spot defensively. Did a really nice job on the edge. This is really, really well played by the defense here. And Shanahan tried to put Bell.
Here we go.
Mike McCarthy at the podium.
David.
Mike, David Moore. Bell's Morning News. Several players used the word, I think, frustration in the aftermath last night, which is certainly understandable. But how do you guard against frustration creeping in the farther away you get from the games, and how can that hurt what you want to do?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I would say frustration's accurate. I think that's very natural, common post-game. And I think today is really the time that it starts. You know, you start your process. You know, the guys have been in through here. But, yeah, I don't see it being an issue at all of moving forward.
So basically you just address it by we get back to work. These are tasks.
Definitely. Address it individually. I think just like any time when you hit spots like this, there's more one-on-one conversations. You know, it really starts with the coaching staff. You know, that starts on the plane. Obviously, a very quiet plane ride home last night, and everybody was, you know, pretty much dialed in watching the tape and getting ready for this morning. So, you know, we've had a chance to look at it. Frankly, we've started our process with Atlanta, you know, trying to not stay on schedule, but try to get on a schedule. But, we definitely have to move forward. I think it's clearly understandable that everybody last night was frustrated.
Clarence Hill, All City Dallas. I don't know if you heard or saw Trayvon Diggs come back out of the locker room and address a media member. Do you talk to him about something like that, or specifically him about with his uniform on, still worried about what somebody's tweeting? Is that part of the frustration?
Yeah, I think that's clearly an example of frustration. But I think we have to be better in those moments. I always talk about staying on the high road. It's part of our responsibility in this business. I am not ignorant or naive to the fact that, this generation, that's part of the world they live in, the social media world, and you have to manage that. That's part of being a professional athlete, and that's part of representing this organization properly.
Mike, Todd Archer with ESPN. When you've had teams in the past that have gone through frustrating times, what are the messages and themes that you've used to get them out of that?
We do a lot of messaging. Themes are something that is always fluent, frankly, from my approach. I think you do need to take the emotion out of the thought process, and that's why I think it's important to start that on Wednesdays, not as much on Mondays. To me, Monday's evaluation time. It's still fresh, it's still sizzling, and I want it to be that way. I think we all need to feel it. I think it creates the urgency and the importance of what's in front of us. So I think the evaluation Monday on either side of the outcome is critical to improving and growing, and that's what today is.
When you go through situations like this, is there from players and coaches, is there a belief in either side? Like, the coaches believe, hey, can these guys get it done? And the players believe, hey, are these guys telling me the right things?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about commitment. I think just like anything, there's a there's a formula in everything we do as far as, getting the plan put together, whether it's a long-term plan or how you train in the off season all the way through up training camp, and no different week to week, getting ready to go win a football game. So that's why today is important. It's important to always go through the evaluation process, the theory, and understanding that the most important video of the week is the one from yesterday. It's all part of that self-scout, self-improvement. All the other things, the statistics, the conversations are really totally secondary or auxiliary, clearly, to the fact of your own personal action is what is most important. So that, that's the way we'll totally operate. But with that, you got to get the details down. The details it definitely improves the communication. And these are two things that, I feel like it's deja vu, because I stood up here last Monday and talked about it. We didn't hit the target as well as I'd like. I was very pleased with the preparation going into the game. But, for example, we had communication errors on plays 4, 5, and 6 and 7 in the first offensive drive. So, these are the things we're just staying on top of the facts and the exacts of what happened in the game, because it's specific to how we want to play. And everything's affected by that when you don't get into the rhythm and the run game doesn't get going and the action pass doesn't come off of that. So this thing's all tied together. So going back to the first part, I just think clearly the details, you know, and then the communication, and then from that you have production, and then the confidence grows, and then the physicality grows, winning, production, and everything takes care of itself.
Sadis of The Athletic. Mike, you mentioned before Dak knows at this point in his career the value of protecting the ball. How do you kind of explain some of these uncharacteristic interceptions, specifically like the second one last night?
Yeah, I think just clearly, you know, you're always looking at patterns, and, you know, the fact when the pressure goes up, you know, from a protection standpoint, you know, he got caught trying to make a play, and we got to be better in that spot. I mean, particularly the second one, there's, you know, that ball needs to be thrown away. We didn't get the leverage, you know, on the release of the, you know, the stack concept that we were running, didn't get the proper leverage. So, you know, we come out that, you know, it's third and four, and you're in favorable down distance. But, you know, punting is good. I think it's the common sense approach when you look at complementary football. You know, every series on offense needs to end in a kick, you know, whether it's a field goal, whether it's an extra point, or a punt. And, you know, we cannot continue to play, you know, with the giveaways here, because, you know, we're -8 as a football team. That's the number one focal point of a complementary football team, you know, playing to that method, and we need to be better.
With how much Dak is getting hit in some of these games, do you attribute that to him slow on the reads, receivers not running the routes, offensive line, combination of all? How do you see those hits coming about?
Trying to think of a respectful way to answer this question. If it was one thing, I think. In this day and age, at this level, it would be corrected. You know, I just think like anything, you know, there's three-step concepts, there's five-step concepts. And with that, there's a time clock when the ball should come out. There's play extension when you want the play extended. So, you know, I can't really, it's just not one general, you know, answer to the very general question. So we need to be better.
Nick. Nick Harris, Four Star Telegram. Do you feel like the rhythm between Dak and CD is back, and what was your evaluation?
Well, I think it's improving. I think it's something that, you know, they're very conscientious of. They no one knows better than them too that the time they missed, you know, with the extra communication time together. You know, we talked last week when I stood here about the group meetings, spending more time, you know, not only with them too, but the receivers and quarterbacks. So, you know, we got to stay the process. You know, we're, you know, we, you know, as a staff, had long meetings this morning, and just got to make sure that we're, you know, taking the time in those specific areas, whether it's, you know, that particular topic of the timing of the routes and the quarterback and the footwork, that we're, you know, spending the time that we can. You know, we're not going to increase practice by a half an hour, things like that. So, I mean, you know, you got to stay within the realm of your training regimen. We'll do that. And but yeah, I think they're definitely getting better.
And then on that same point, did you see some of the practicing from last week and the changes that you made kind of translate into the game, or is it too early?
Yeah, like I said, I was very pleased with the preparation going into this game, and I think clearly we were very confident that we were going to go in there and win the game, and that's where you need to be week in and week out. So we're still green in some areas. You know, I don't want to be a broken record up here, but we have. Just got to keep working. You know, I like I said in the beginning of this this start of the season, I truly love this locker room. It's a great group of men there that they work, but we need some improvement. And, you know, the first thing with that is details and communication is a starting point, and we need to be better in that area.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. You talk about turnovers and plus minus, and you guys have always been on the positive side of that. How frustrating is it to see that you're not where you normally are in that area?
Personally, I'm very frustrated. I think that's, you know, if you want to be known for something as a football team, it's taking care of the football and taking it away. I think that, you know, I know my experience in this league would reflect that. You know, I quote Brian Schottenheimer, you know, Marty Schottenheimer's probably turning over in his grave right now watching us play, you know, being -8. So it's a focal point, but, you know, we can't change yesterday. We can only work on today and improve moving forward. And, you know, that's our mindset. We know how to do it. We've done it. And but, you know, they got to quit being words and exercises and practice drills. It needs to equate to Sundays. And that's our focus.
How much of a benefit is it that a lot of your players that last night talked about, hey, we've been through adversity before? Because at one point, yeah, Philly was going to win the division, and you guys ended up winning the division, and you overcame some stuff.
Yes, I think all these moments are really good. As you get through them, you don't want to be here, but there's such value to go through adversity moments. You learn so much about, each other, but most importantly, you learn so much about yourself. The man in the mirror is the biggest challenge, and we all recognize that. So as long as we stay focused on that and, deal with the responsibility that we have here, with the externals and handle that professionally and properly, that's important. But yeah, this is the right mix of individuals. So I feel like we have that.
Garrett Bodell, CBS Sports. Mike, Tyler Guyton's first game back since week 5. What did you see from his performance?
I thought he played okay. We helped him a lot. I think he's someone as a young player is part of that details and communication focus, and that starts with me, because it's never just the player when things aren't as clean and clear. So we like I said, I felt very good about the tweaks and adjustments we made in the practice realm, but it didn't carry over. When we have those kind of mistakes in the first 15 plays or the first calls that are well rehearsed, that's something we kicked ourselves in the ass today in the offensive staff meeting, because why is this happening? So we need to do a better job, and they need to do a better job. So, and we'll get to the bottom of it.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. You said it just now a few minutes ago that you love this locker room. You said that several times this year. What Trayvon did last night, does that make you worry at all about your locker room?
No, I think it's part of the frustration. I think it's a part of the frustration of being part of a very competitive arena. One that like you always do, you prepare for. You have an expectation to win. I can't speak on his specific feelings at that moment, but once again we do have a responsibility to represent the Cowboys, and we understand that, and I'm not probably the right person to talk about being in that position and what it feels like, but I do have children in their 20s, and in this generation that's the world that they live in, so and it needs to be managed.
And Mike Edwarder, WFAA. You've obviously existed now at the opposite end of the turnover margin spectrum from where you've been the last few years, especially. Is it more an issue in your mind of protecting the ball on offense, or is it a bigger taking it away on defense is a bigger factor?
Well, I think it's bigger on taking care of it, because just like anything, if you take care of the football every single week, then you're never going to lose the turnover ratio. At worst, it'd be 0-0. So you have to take care of it. But on the other side of it, our position, we keep track of, not only takeaways, but the takeaway opportunities, you got to first be in position to take away. And with that, that's where the energy and the footwork and, in the proper angles. And, when you talk about the pursuit and finish of the defense and your coverage units, that's how we train. So, the opportunities need to go up. We can improve there. Because as those opportunities go up, the takeaways go. We executed takeaways at a higher level the last 3 years, but our opportunities are not far off of the last couple of years. So we're getting there, but we're not converting. So we just got to keep working.
When you get guys like Micah and Land back, will that potentially make a significant difference?
I mean, I think their individual statistics in that category speaks for themselves. Definitely they're impact players, and what Jerron accomplished last year, is. Was it best ever. So, and obviously Micah is that impact pressure player, and they definitely will help.
Ben Lofberg, 105.3, the Fan. Mike, the recurring theme seems to be communication and getting better communication. How do you go about that?
Well, I think like anything, it starts in the classroom. Everything's broken down in a training regime. You got a classroom environment, you got a practice environment, you have the game day environment. So, and communication is a common thread. It's the fuel that makes all three of those environments rock and roll. So, the classroom environment, I think we do an exceptional job. I think really, in particular, let's just talk about the offensive line group. I think the way those guys, I think when you have a veteran, in the presence of a Zach Martin, it brings a different level to that room. And I've been fortunate to be, been around some great rooms, and I think this is clearly one one of those rooms. So I think we clearly have that in a classroom environment. But then you take it to the practice environment, it starts in the walkthroughs. You know, we've been, you know, very diligent in the communication and the volume and as far as the, you know, how loud the community, just, you know, blatantly point out the declaration, blatantly echo every call. So we just got to get it to translate to the practice field and get it translate to the game environment. So the process is in place. We need to be better.
And going into that game specifically, you know, yesterday, did you feel like you kind of had the communication thing down with what
I mean, there's nothing that, you know, their defense is, you know, the way they line up in the scheme, it's not of high volume. So when you don't play a high volume alignment defense, obviously you're going to have more movement. So, you know, you try to emulate, you know, their stunt games and you know, on what they're doing. But, you know, the speed of it is really what comes down to the game. So, yeah, there was nothing really what they did, you know, from an assignment standpoint that we're surprised by. It's just, you know, you got to see it in real time, make the call, and go play. So it's part of football.
God.
You mentioned Mike and Bland. Do you have an idea of what they'll be able to do for you this week?
I don't. I haven't checked in with Britt and him. So as far as their, you know, they had rehab work today, but I haven't talked to those guys about those guys yet.
When you look at the pass rush, obviously, you know, Mike impacts that a lot, but it seemed like you tried to bring some pressure and that still wasn't getting home at times yesterday, too. I don't know if that's fair in your mind, but how do you improve your pass rush when Mike is not around?
Well, I mean, if you can't get it done with four, you do it with five, and then there's, you know, you got, you know, simulated pressures and things like that. So, you know, and I think just like anything, when it's difficult as a play caller, offense or defense, and when you do try to hit things and they don't work, and it's something we talked openly about, you know, during the bye week, and the evaluation is, you know, you still got to trust the call sheet and get it off. And, you know, I know personally, just last night, I took home way too many calls. The protection, you know, and the hits, you know, affected the way, you know, I called the particular part of the passing game, you know, specifically, you know, with the coverages that they, you know, they sat in their base coverages and, you know, had a number of things conceptually that you wanted to get to. So, and that's the challenge of it. So when things aren't going right, and it's just like anything in a game of football, it starts up front, you know, it doesn't for both the offense and the defense. And, you know, we got to, you know, we want to get to be able to play more balance. We played complementary football for the first half. In the fourth quarter, you know, in the third quarter was that they owned it, and they got out, they got away from us too far where we couldn't catch them. So, but you know, and the way we played in the first half and the fourth quarter, you know, it was definitely, you know, had us in position to win the game.
Clarence,
you know, you were frustrating so a few times here. You know, you went back through the basics and off during the bye week. And I know Dak and some other guys talked about the communication was high in practice last week. How demoralizing that you had that good communication in practice, and then the first few plays of the game, you have communication breakdown.
I think frustration is part of not winning a game, but the other verbs as far as carrying it forward, these are learning experiences. I talked to you last week about relishing this opportunity. It's not about the opportunity of having more and more adversity, but having experience here, I think it is a great opportunity for us to show the commitment and belief that we have, and we need to keep it about football. You know, we can't waste our time on anything that doesn't help us win. And you know, and UConn people are so generous with all this insight that you're giving our fans with these outstanding questions, and we appreciate that. But, you know, that's as far as it goes, you know, because I'm about winning, and everybody's got a job to do. And our job's to win, and my job is to make sure we stay about winning and not get caught up in the other stuff.
All righty.
Thank you.
That's a good note to end it on. Mike firing shots at the media, acting like they don't know what they're talking about. Clearly, you guys have all the answers, right? Just communication and execution. I love it. I mean, the tone of excuse-making and pointing the finger at others. We had Jerry 2 weeks ago, Trayvon Diggs last night. There's Mike McCarthy, you know, just can't help it. I imagine they're sitting around complaining about how people are talking about their pathetic brand of football right now more than actually coming up with solutions. I don't know about you, but I do know we are late. We got to run. It is the G-Bag Nation. Woolchuck's top 10 at 420 coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It's been a big Cowboys Monday so far, and we're just over halfway home. Mike Leslie is coming up at 6 o'clock, the news anchor reporter from WFAA, who Trayvon Diggs went after last night in the hallway outside the Cowboys locker room. There's news on Sam Williams, suspended three games. This is related to the incident last year where it was possession of a controlled substance and unlawful carrying of a firearm. If you remember that story from last year with Sam Williams, it won't really impact him because he is already out for the year with injury, but did want to follow up on that. In addition to the finest coming up at 5 o'clock, what are we doing next? We'll check a little top 10, bases, quick puck.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bases update, and then we'll get into our top 10. It's National Chocolate Day, the top 10 most popular Halloween candies, 2024 edition. Do you prefer the chocolate or do you prefer the candies? That's next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Mike Leslie's coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the exchange that went viral last night outside the Cowboys locker room with him and Trayvon Diggs. Was not happy with his critique of his pursuit of the ball. Okay, it's football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Then we'll hit the expressway. LA Live is now less than an hour away. Here's Woolchuck with some sports.
Yeah, I guess we might get Trayvon's take on it as well. He's going to be joining Micah Parsons here shortly.
Micah tweeted out 3 minutes ago, live with Trayvon on the edge, ... at Bleacher Report.
Oh, baby.
He's doing a good job as the head of content management for Bleacher Report.
Go get it.
He's doing his thing.
Go get Cowboys. All right, 877-881-1053. What is your number one Halloween candy? It's National Chocolate Day. You can text in your favorite chocolate as well, but I decided to go Halloween-themed with this list. Do you prefer, like, the chocolate versus the candies? Like, are you more into the Skittles versus the M&Ms, you know, or is it the Gushers that you really enjoyed as a kid?
Yeah, I'm a chocolate man.
Me too. Like, give me the Reese's. That's the number one. Snickers, absolutely. Yes, please.
Yes.
Kit Kat, Twix, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I even like just a Hershey chocolate, you know, just classic.
Just straight up Hershey's.
Yeah. It could be the Kiss, it could be the bar, whatever, but.
What about the cookies and cream?
Yeah, I'm
that's always a fun one to get.
Definitely.
Not a lot of people do the cookies and cream Hershey's bar. I'm into it.
Is there anybody against the Tootsie Pop?
Not at all. I love a Tootsie Pop.
I used to watch. I'd sit in my office and I had a bowl of them on my desk and people would come by and talk and they'd take one and leave and all that. But I used to watch tape and I always like had a Tootsie Pop in my, is that an old school? Is that too old school candy right
no,
there?
No, I'm definitely Tootsie Pop. Is it take still too long to eat? Well. No.
Does it take too long? I wouldn't eat the center part.
Oh, you wouldn't eat the Tootsie
Roll? Yeah, I would just get down to the
center. You were just popping it? You weren't Tootsie in it?
Throwing away, yeah. Because it always the chocolate part gets stuck in your teeth while you're sitting around. You know, I'd like,
sure.
And so I would just take it and just toss it, you know. But I would be watching tape and I'd always have like a Tootsie Roll.
Now, the cherry was the best one, right?
Absolutely, it was.
Yeah. Cherry.
Oh, I thought orange was pretty
solid.
Orange
was really good, yeah.
I thought orange one was pretty good.
That was always one of my hotter childhood takes was, like, I always preferred the Tootsie Pop over the Blow Pop.
Yeah,
I agree. But the Blow Pop's too much.
Yeah, I'll take the Tootsie.
I went Tootsie every time.
Yeah.
It was a great trade for Halloween because I was always
just
like.
What do you guys think about Sweet Tarts?
Yeah, they're solid.
I'll pass.
Okay, back in the 70s, they had this giant Sweet Tart that was like the size of a pocket watch. Like this it was like a, you know, it was almost like a biscuit.
Wow.
And you talk about your tongue just like.
Yeah, it just gets tore up.
Just bad tore up.
Sour.
But that's, we had.
You eat the whole thing?
The whole thing.
You bite on it like it's a moon pie?
No, you just.
Or you just shove the whole thing in your mouth and chew on it for like an hour before you can finally.
Your tongue just
nibbling
gets,
on it.
Your tongue just gets destroyed doing it. Yeah.
Love eating. Okay, I'm not going to read that. Blue Tootsie Pops.
I'm proud of you for censoring yourself.
Got texted in. Yeah, it was very, very close right there. 903 said I would always trade my plain Hershey chocolates for any other candy during Halloween.
See, I would have been a great trade partner with you.
We could have swapped. Like Twizzlers.
What are they? Are they trying
Twizzlers.
To?
Twizzlers. Oh, God.
No, go.
Yeah. They're going to be suspended.
That the thing with Twizzlers was my old boss in Green Bay, like he one time gave John Dorsey like $100 bill and goes, get me some candy. This is like during the draft. And Dorsey came back with a turkey pan, one of those big turkey pans with $100 of candy in it. And just loaded it up.
That's awesome, dude.
And we sat there, but my old boss loved Twizzlers. And he'd eat it like here I was. Everybody else had, he was Twizzlers. That's just that ropey.
No. I think the original licorice, the red ropes, a lot of things better than Twizzlers. Sour ropes.
Twizzlers suck so bad.
But the nerd sticks?
Like nerd ropes and stuff.
Nerd ropes are the best candy going, in my opinion. Big, big fan of
those. Did you
ever
do the Pixie Sticks?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we did.
Dabbled in the Pixie Sticks.
My kids just had Fun Dip over the weekend for the first time.
Dude, Fun Dip, yes.
I was like, I'm excited. They didn't know what the thing was. They thought they were just supposed to open it up and drink the powder. My daughter started doing that, and I'm like, no. There's a little edible dip stick.
What about the Dunkaroos?
I don't think they've had the Dunkaroos.
No Dunkaroos yet.
Is this over? Did Sean have these things? Is that where they had
them? No, this is at their little school deal on Saturday.
But like Sean had like bad candy.
And I was just getting bombarded with all sorts of Halloween things to do. I'm sure he did. I was building nachos. I wasn't really concerned about
we were the kids candy eating stuff. Nachos?
Yeah, of course they were. Punishing. Well, no, I didn't even bring my kids to that party. They were at a different Halloween party, so it was nice. I had a nice
up as like a pimp?
Yeah, he sure stole the show with the costume. Yeah. It was awesome.
We had a great time.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Even though Walchuk barreled into the pool with his baby, it was still a great night.
Went on a log ride with this kid.
Good Lord. It was a terrifying sequence, but all in all, ended well. All right, here's your top 10 most popular Halloween candies 2024. Not that I know of.
Sean scrubbed it.
There's no video.
It might be held liable.
Might be a legal deal. Number 10 is Airheads.
Don't worry about it.
Airheads Extreme Sour Belts.
I do love Airheads. Airheads are incredible.
Awful.
And people do love the sour. Number 9 is M&M's Peanut Milk Chocolate Covered Candies. So the peanut M&M's.
Peanut M&M's, yeah. Yeah. They're outstanding.
8, was never a fan of these. Mike and Ike's.
No. Come on. Do better.
I was out on the Mike and Ike's.
Do better. Give me a Mr. Good Bar.
7 are the trolleys, the Sour Bite Crawlers. Those are pretty damn good.
Oh, gummy worms. Gummy worms.
Yeah.
Right? Go gummy worms?
Gummy worms.
Yeah. Aren't they called trolleys?
Yeah, that's the
trolleys.
Brand. I think it's trolleys.
I thought it was trolleys.
List so far.
6 is
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know, you're crapping on gummy worms over there.
They're awful.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you say was next?
Kit Kats.
Yeah, that's...
Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
I like the flavored ones now, or like the white chocolate ones.
Oh, yeah?
Better than that, yeah.
I don't think I've had the white chocolate yet.
Yeah, they're good.
Top 5, Nerd Sweet and Tangy Gummy Clusters. The clusters are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just don't like the sour or any type of candies. No, not your thing. 4 is Snickers.
I could see Broadus enjoying some Junior Mints.
I'll tell you what, in a movie, not a bad call.
What about an Almond Joy?
Oh, love the coconut.
And you'd be a Raisinette guy too, right?
Love Raisinettes.
Yeah, I figured. 4 is the Snickers. Your top 3 most popular Halloween candies for 2024 on National Chocolate Day. 3 is the Twix.
Twix, normal. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Butterfinger, and I'm going to go Reese's.
Butterfinger, shockingly not in the top 10 this year.
Skittles?
Butterfinger is one for me that I love.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is probably up in there.
Number 1.
2 is Gushers.
Oh, really? Gushers as a Halloween candy item.
Gushers is making a move here.
That's kind of one of those gray area things. You know, it's teetering the line. It's a bit of a tweener. Is it a snack? Is it a candy? But that'll pass.
But number
at least
one,
it's not an apple or something.
No, we're not doing that.
We used to worry about that back in the day. People put razor blades in them.
What?
Your apples?
Yeah. That was the thing that was scary during Halloween.
You know, was that just like an old
folk tale?
Anthrax. That's what we used to get in ours, right?
It actually tastes better than you think it does.
In the
70s, they were like worried about people putting razor blades in apples. Yeah.
What the hell was going on?
Tell me about it.
Ozzy. Osbourne, pretty much. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, we can blame Black Sabbath for that one.
Here you go.
Number one, though, not a surprise. It is indeed the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Peanut Butter Cups.
Has the top chocolate slightly and the chilled top Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Delicioso. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
It's even packaged perfect for Halloween. It is. With the orange.
The color scheme.
It's weak. Okay. In addition to the finest coming up next, Eric.
Yes, the VRQB and epic sounds from a football weekend next year in the nation.
It'll be an epic last Flagtober day stop Wednesday. Whataburger in Grand Prairie. That's 2630 State Highway 161. Last chance to get a G-Bag flag on Wednesday.